Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, our audience. We're really glad to be here. This is Pat Hurston on behalf of LeaderCast. And we are excited to have a wonderful guest with us this month, Shamin Lodine. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, Shamin is an executive director of hotel department development rather for Margaritaville Hotels and Resorts. That just sounds really fun all by itself. Like you must go everywhere.
I do. I'm fortunate, and just the way you mentioned it, anything with a Margaritaville name,
yeah,
is fun.
Yes. Right, absolutely. Well, listen, I understand you've been in the hospitality business for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into it, how long, and all of that.
It would be my pleasure. So it will be about 22 years I've been in the hospitality industry, and I love telling this story, not just because it's about me, but it's the journey of the story that's led us here. I got into the hospitality industry by accident. I was initially a pre-med major.
Wow.
In college.
Okay.
And after the first year of taking a lot of science courses and anatomy courses and biochemistries, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from a background of my family's all in the medical field. So anytime somebody from our region of the world, I'm from Afghanistan, there's a predetermined course of action and education for you down the path.
That you're going to be a doctor.
either a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer.
Okay.
Anything less than that does not qualify you in the society, basically.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, I had a really good discussion with my parents, and I said, listen, I enjoy medical field. However, I love business. So one day driving home from college, I stopped at a hotel not too far from here, and I just walked in. I said, hey, I need a job. Like any college student, we were paying a lot of tuition and books, and I needed a job. So they said, what do you want to do? I said, anything. What do you have available? So they started me driving the van on the weekends. So I was a full-time college student. Either after hours or on the weekends, I would shuttle around guests of the hotel to the local restaurants or wherever they wanted to go. And I fell in love with the energy of the business and the product. So with that starting, I have worked in pretty much every department at the hotel level, all the way from housekeeping to cleaning the lobbies to front desk to supervising front desk staff to more recently leading a global function with previous organizations where my teams were located across either China or Manila or Middle East. And that's been really quite a journey for me, and I've learned a lot. And that's something I'm excited to talk about today is, what are those key learnings for me that I could hopefully share and with our future generations as well?
So how many people are on your team?
Right now, no. It's just in development. It's myself and a few other colleagues.
Okay.
Because we are starting out our organization. The company, Margaritaville, has been in business for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
As you all may have figured out, it's Jimmy Buffett is the founder of Margaritaville Holdings. And it transcends generations. The organization is a lifestyle brand, which not only is in the hotel business and it's in the lodging business, which has homes and condos and cottages, but also from a lifestyle perspective, there is apparel, there is attire, there's drinks and beverages and food with the name Margaritaville and the branding associated with it, and restaurants as well. But in the hotels and resorts side of the business, we're fairly new, about 7 years now. So we're trying to expand that organization of the hotel side and the resort side, but also grow our footprint, not only in the States, but international, specifically the Caribbean region and Latin America region.
Excellent.
As well. Yeah.
Okay. So along your journey, you have had an opportunity to do a lot of development of people. And I know from your LinkedIn that that is your passion, is leadership development. So tell us a little bit about why is it your passion, and what have you been able to, first of all, learn mm-hmm. about yourself and how you have helped other people? And then just in general, why is it so much of your passion?
So we love talking about ourselves, right?
Especially
us people in sales.
I
myself, my journey is quite unique. In the development arena, I feel like I was a bit late in the coaching and mentoring journey of my life. So as I was going through college and universities and working along the way, I really didn't have a lot of mentors and coaches. And but I relied a lot on friends and family for guidance. And it was until several years ago where I really started focusing on my own development and leadership capabilities, because I was in a function that required me to do so, first of all. But with that accelerated pressure and learning, I fell in love with coaching and mentoring and developing people. So it was kind of a full circle for me, where I had to learn myself how to develop and coach myself first. And then the best part of that was teaching it to others. So from a fulfilling perspective, it was very interesting and exciting for me to enrich other people's lives and help them develop their own skills and or help identify their skills that they may not have known they had. To me, that was the biggest coaching opportunity for me, is how to develop that and pull it out from individuals and colleagues and peers, but more importantly, also for myself. So since then, one of my biggest missions in personal and professional life is, how do I help others through the knowledge or skills that I may have? And that aligns with coaching and mentoring of others as well. So with that, my passion lies in the fact that I need to pay it forward. I need to help our growing generation of leaders. We owe it to them, truthfully, because at times I will hopefully retire at some point. But for our kids and our grandkids and our younger generations, as they grow up into the workforce, it's an ever-evolving landscape in the business arena these days. Mm-hmm. So we need to really arm our future generations with how to really be deliberate, intentional, but also agile in a way where they need to really know the landscape of the business and where to go next and develop themselves and then help their teams along the way as well.
Exactly.
And one of the biggest key learnings for myself was the art of networking. Mm. And I know that's a big topic in any industry these days, but there really is a recipe, in my opinion, on how to network better. Anyone, they say they can network, and that's fine. But I could have a healthy debate with some of the best networkers out there on what are the what is the recipe for a great networking session to happen.
And then how do you take that forward?
Exactly,
right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A lot of people, you know, you mentioned LinkedIn, for example. A lot of people have 500 plus friends on LinkedIn. And so sometimes I ask my friends and colleagues, I said, out of those 500, when was the last time you reconnected with someone and had a genuine, fruitful conversation of value? The response I get is really astounding. It's, yeah, no, we just either text once a year or something like that. So we're all guilty of it. I myself am guilty of that. But one of the things I teach and coach and excessively talk about with my colleagues and peers is, be very, very intentional and consistent about networking. But second to that, connect people within the network with other organizations or other friends of yours. That's the biggest and most important way, in my opinion, whether in business or personal, is to expand your own circle of influence in a way, which mm-hmm. is leadership, in my opinion, mm-hmm. but also helping others along the way as well.
Absolutely.
So just being very intentional about it.
Tell me some of the success stories you've had. I know that you've been in the business for over 20 years, and I know that in the just being a customer of the resorts and hotels and that kind of thing, there are, I'm sure, lots of people that you touch along the way. Do you have a couple of success stories with your style and how you have paid it forward with leadership development of others?
There are, and you know, the two that I could share or a few others. I work a lot with colleges and students, so I go back to my alma mater, Georgia State University, and I had the School of Hospitality especially.
Oh, okay.
And I give lectures there on hospitality, on the business, on where we are in the industry these days. And it's really part of my mission to make sure the hospitality students are engaged on the course of graduating from the hospitality school, but also sharing some of the experiences I've had in my life, learning experiences, whether they were good, whether they were not so good, but what did I walk away from those experiences that I could share with a future generation? So to give an example of that, in the previous organizations, I would hire students as interns on our team. And coming out of college, and usually I would see it in their faces and I would feel it for them. They go into a big matrix, large global organization. out of college, it could be overwhelming. Yeah. I know I would be overwhelmed also. But part of my role as bringing them on board onto the team as an intern and then helping them coach, mentor, and guide along the way, it's very, very satisfactory for me to see them now having their own teams, having grown and developed into leaders, having their own functions that now they lead globally.
Oh, that's got to be really rewarding.
It is really rewarding. Yeah. So as a, you know, say as a parent, my wife and I, we have three young children. But on the other side, I also have other kids, right, that I could say, oh, my God, it's so rewarding to see them now grow up and have their own families. One of them is getting married this year, but growing into professionals that I admire. And so my conversations with them is totally different than the way we started maybe 6, 5, 10 years ago, where now I'm challenging them of what is your role in this business or any business that you're going to go to. You've got to also pay it forward. You've got to help the society and the community and help enrich other people's lives along the way.
So when you along the journey, you not only have, I'm sure, helped people who were junior to you. How about your peers? That's got to be kind of interesting. How do you do some coaching of your peers? That's got to be. How do you approach that?
I'll add one more layer to that, actually. So along the way of coaching my peers, but also at times coaching my seniors and superiors.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but yes.
we might as well, huh?
Yeah.
My mentors, you know, some of them are at the C-suite level. And at times I would have discussions with them. And from the onset of our mentoring and coaching session, we would say, listen, here are the area of the business I want to grow into or learn more about from your experiences, but also what is my value in this for you? Mm-hmm. And we would kind of highlight some areas that I would help support them on as well. So that would make it a lot easier from the beginning because it was a two-way relationship versus a one-way of a top-down or lateral approach, whereas I was forcing myself to offer value and add value to my seniors or my peers' lifestyles or learning along the way. So one of the best things that has worked for me personally is once I know some of their key focus areas that they want to develop in, and that was the question I would ask in my first or second meeting, then I would have found my network of friends that have experience in those arenas or that would be worthwhile of having a discussion with. So one of the best things we could do is make a connection there, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, from an academic perspective, is what kind of literature is available out there that we can jointly read or review and then discuss together. One of the things I see in our society and our organizations these days as people kind of go up the corporate world, in my opinion, they tend to forget, or it's not on their priority list, is learning. Is, you know, the experiences come along the way as you work, and that's great. That is true. I passionately feel the fact that we have to carve out some time for active learning.
Yes.
Meaning that is really picking up a book or a newspaper and spending maybe 10, 15 minutes a day really focusing on learning yourself, but then teaching that to others too. So that's what I would do with my peers and my colleagues is I would actually assign them books.
Okay.
I would have assignments for them. I would have homework for them.
And they keep coming back? And
well, we have good conversations. good. Not all of them came back.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I would hear is we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have enough time for this. And that's true. We are all busy these days. But one of the items that has worked well for me is I identify where I could help and add value the most to my peers.
Right.
And I would literally add assignments to their work schedule saying, here's an article I came across. You should read it. I will read it. We will come back together and discuss it, what the key learnings were, and then employ that into our business.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see what
happens. And hold each other accountable for those practices. Yeah.
And that was the biggest
thing. That's exactly right.
Accountability and then really the collaboration piece of it.
Yeah.
Because it makes the business flow easier, conversations happen. But also I would add the expanding the circle of network and friends along the way.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things I would help with my mentors and my peers.
Yeah. So one of the other things is when you have been mentoring people, do you find a difference between mentoring with your peers and people senior or junior to you, women versus men? Do you give different advice. What kind of challenges do you see that women encounter that perhaps men don't? And what's been your advice and your experience with that?
So there were multiple questions in that.
Yes.
Alone. I'll try to address one at a time to my best abilities. I did find a drastic difference in the mentality between men and women that were my mentees. And my approach to that initially, and I had to learn along the way too, because the way I would mentor a male and the way I would mentor a female initially was different, because there was a bit of, and I really don't know how to say this, English is my seventh language, so I try to do my best with words, but there was a bit of passiveness mm-hmm. and softness in the approach from the females, the women that I was mentoring. And very quickly, I had to address that with myself first. So I asked for guidance from my friends, my mentors, my circle, my own board of directors, saying, I'm mentoring junior level males and females, but I need to address my own approach so that I'm consistent. One of the primary differences I found was confidence mm-hmm. at the beginning. It was different between men and women.
Yes.
The women would really use a lot of words like think, I hope, and I should. Not very direct, very passive, where I saw the difference in men as very aggressive. And that happens to this day in the professional workplaces as well. And that's why I am passionate about LeaderCast along the ways of helping grow the diversity of both men and women in the workforce. But my approach to that was I had to change it to be consistent with my mm-hmm. mentees mm-hmm. of how I would coach and mentor a male, I would coach and mentor the female the same way. The one key difference I made was I had a heightened awareness of calling out areas to my female mentees quicker when I would hear from them in their tone or in their vocabulary about the passiveness or the insecurity aspect of the business or just their own learning. So I would point out very quickly of, you said that word again that we should not use again in the future in a nice way. But I would also accelerate my own sharing of knowledge with them by science-backed research and articles of why women should develop themselves faster, more aggressive, and more than men, truthfully. So to me, quite exciting has been lately in the media and in the corporations and the business world, we see it where a lot of these big global conglomerate organizations are hiring more women at the, not only at the C-suite level, but as a CEO or chairwoman at these days. Some automotive companies, some manufacturing companies I've heard of, beverages obviously yes. we've heard of, that are led by female executives. And it's quite inspiring for many reasons. But furthermore to that, for me personally, coming from a male-dominated society in the Middle East and Afghanistan, let's say, for me, one of the biggest focus was how do we equalize that a little bit more? So for me, it was quite a bit of learning internally of, I come from this kind of a society, but my heart and soul is in somewhere else, equalizing the diversity of business. So I've been really focusing on that and paying attention to that. But ultimately, my coaching has to remain consistent, mm-hmm. and my feedback has to remain consistent. But I also don't want it to be a unilateral or unidirectional feedback to my mentees. What I also do is I do an impromptu or informal 360s with them. With my colleagues, with my friends, with my network.
Yes.
So that I can validate saying, hey, listen, I'm not the only one saying this. Here it is, the feedback from my colleagues and my mentees or my friends. It really helps diffuse the situation and rebuild the confidence further and quicker for them.
Yeah, we can go a number of ways, but I'm really interested in how you're able to handle calling out men mm-hmm. when you see behaviors that they're treating women differently in leadership. Because that, I mean, man to man, that's got to be, perhaps carries more weight. And people are not usually aware that they're doing it. But I wonder if you have had an experience to be able to call that out.
I have at times. And quite frankly, for me, it was easier. And I don't know why. I really don't, but for me, it was one of the easiest conversations to have with my male colleagues or peers to call it out, first of all, in private, of course, but really re-identify what happened, what the situation was, and how I would have handled it. But I didn't want to make it personal, and mm-hmm. it's not personal. Mm-hmm. I would focus more on the situation and the outcome of how it could have been handled differently.
Having more sensitivities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because at times I was involved with peers, but at times I was involved with some seniors.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, to be frank, they're not easy. You kind of have to do a gut check of, okay, is this the right move here or not?
Right.
But then one thing I believe in my life is in this stage of my life too, is having a no regret type of policy and mentality for
being
myself.
Being authentic,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And when I did my gut check, myself, I said, okay,
it's
I need to do this. Right. I need to say something. I need to stand up.
Right.
And I did. Yeah. And quite frankly, it was welcomed because it wasn't it was done in an authentic way.
Yeah.
It wasn't done in a malicious way, but I had to do the right thing at the
exactly.
time and call it out.
Exactly.
But truthfully for me, it's very easy. At times, some of my previous leaders years and years ago had told me in my reviews that I was at times too militant. I was at times too direct and too harsh. So I had to work on both sides of also bringing my sensitive side to the forefront and showing that along the way as well.
Right.
But for me, it's very easy.
Well, tell me how leadership, you've been at LeaderCast, rather, you've been involved with LeaderCast for many years. I understand that you went to the Women's LeaderCast last year, and it was absolutely wonderful, and you're intended to go this year. But you go to LeaderCast Live. Tell me how LeaderCast has helped you in your professional development along the way.
Yes, I've been part of LeaderCast for many, many years now, and I've attended the sessions, and I was fortunate to attend the LeaderCast Women last year. I was one of a handful of men in attendance there. Two reasons stood out, or two areas stood out to me the most at that session was, one thought was, why aren't there more men involved in this session? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be just localized to women.
Right.
But then B, the most important thing to me was, how do we help our females along the way, or our women leaders along the way, with our male leader support?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a distinction to be made there. But for me, what I value the most in LeaderCast, and I visit the site, I talk to my friends at LeaderCast quite frequently, it really has helped me become a much more well-rounded leader, not only from a business perspective, but also from a cultural sensitivity perspective in a way. So it's important for me to hear experiences of not only the males, but the female speakers that are at LeaderCast events. But also on the website, some of the blogs that I read, some of the best practices that I read, those are really key learnings for our not only for us, but our future leaders, our future generations, that we should take pride in. And lastly, I would say this is something I tried to stress earlier in the discussion, was the circle of learning and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best resources, in my opinion, out there right now is I go to LeaderCast site daily, sometimes every 2 days, sometimes multiple times a day.
Excellent, yeah.
And because there are really unique tidbits of information in there that we could learn from and employ immediately into our work style or personal style. Because one of the things I believe in is leadership is transparent. It shouldn't be different in the workplace or at home or personal. So from a LeaderCast perspective, it is those key tidbits of information that I get that really truthfully help me along the way, make me happy.
Right.
But I can also share those with my friends and my colleagues.
And they're
peers.
Quick. You're able to quickly share those, and it's right on the spot.
Absolutely.
Because many people know LeaderCast as the two big events.
Yes.
The May event for Live, and then the LeaderCast Women. But LeaderCast is so much more. We have LeaderCast Now.
Absolutely.
The website is awesome. There is certification that people can get from there. And to your point, by having the subscription to LeaderCast Now, you're able to go into the library and deal with a situation you may have right at that moment. And there's snippets.
Right.
And here's the real big value that we've been seeing, and that is all the awesome speakers that we have that bring different perspectives that make you think differently, because we're so much into what we do heads down every day. But
right.
to spend some time at our events or online to see what others are dealing with. Sometimes we think we're the only ones dealing with it, but there are others. I mean, as you said, you go sometimes daily. Yes. You share that information. Yes. What advice would you give men? Because let me say that our next event, which is LeaderCast Women, is going to be on October 18th at the Cobb Energy Center. Mm-hmm. I want all of our audience to go to leadercast.com. You will see how to register. If you are interested in having sponsorship, which I know Margaritaville and a number of other companies are, to bring your team so that people can all understand and become better leaders. Because, you know, we want to develop leaders that others are going to want to follow because they're just good people. But what advice, and this year we're going to also have, you might have been a handful of men, we're fixing that because we're looking to get 50 men at least. We expect that we're going to get 100, because what we know is important is that men and women need to understand how to work together in this whole business of leadership development if we're going to lead. Absolutely. So what advice would you give the audience about LeaderCast and attending our events?
Two things that come to mind that I practice myself. One is be a continuous student of yourself, whether that's weekly, whether that's monthly, whether that's daily. Really employ some 5-minute time frame or 10-minute time frame at the end of the day for reflection moments, and think about, and this is to the audience, think about what, you know, happened that day and how did you resolve issues, or what did you make an, where did you make an impact. So really take some time to take inventory of your own skill set and where you want to grow and where you want to do next. Second part of that is then, this is something I do on a daily basis, is truthfully log in, and you mentioned it, find the resource library and really learn from the people that have gone through some of those experiences and reflect back on that. If this, let's say, situation worked out for this person in this way, what could I learn from it and what could I do differently to make it work for me? We all come across scenarios on an hourly basis in our business that we need to solve for. But it's really arming ourselves. What is in our resource library, as we say, no pun intended there, but from a LeaderCast perspective, but personal as well, is where can we dig in quickly, get the tools, pull the levers that we need to conduct our business, but also grow as leaders. And to the advice I would have for my colleagues and males and leaders to grow further is pay attention more about where the business is going for yourself, but not also from a business perspective, but also from a diversity perspective, is where are we going to take our businesses in the future along the help with our female partners, our female executives, our female mentees or mentors or colleagues? Because I truly believe that there is an underutilized arena of really engaging our female partners in the business these days.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you on October 18th. You have been an outstanding guest for us, and thank you for sharing all that you've experienced with LeaderCast. For our audience, I want to just remind you that if you are interested, and just take a look at our website, leadercast.com. Again, our women, LeaderCast Women, our theme is Take Courage. We want women to be more courageous. Please take a look at that. The event is Friday, October 18th. We've got some awesome speakers. It's 9 of them. You're not going to want to miss them. If you look at our website, you will find all their names. If you are interested in any sponsorship, please give me a call, email. You can email me at pat.hurston, that's H-U-R-S-T-O-N, at leadercast.com. We are looking forward to seeing all of you. And next month, we will have yet another guest. And we thank you for listening.